The following message is brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. To learn more about the Ezra Institute's mission to advance the Lordship of Christ, please visit www.ezrainstitute.ca.
Dr. Boot, the referendum has also motivated other European states such as Italy, France, and the Netherlands to express their desire to leave the European Union. A common phrase that we've often heard is, "We want our country back." What is the biblical perspective on nationalism and patriotism?
Yeah, that's also a good question because there has been quite a bit of fear, uncertainty, concern that somehow the Brexit vote is a vote for xenophobia, is a vote for nationalism, is a vote for closed-mindedness and all of these things. And I think that, first of all, I would want to say that I think that's a terrible mischaracterization of what British people have actually said in this referendum. They've not voted for some sort of radical nationalistic agenda. They've not voted to be xenophobes. We're not trying to turn our backs as a people, I think, on Europe. I don't think that's what the UK is doing. And certainly it's not turning our backs on the world. In fact, I would say that the objective has been to open Britain up globally for free trade, for defining its own way forward and its own relationships with these other nations, rather than having to work through bureaucrats in Brussels. Having said that, the issue of nationalism is of course, a concern. Certainly, I think we can say that God clearly believes in nations. I mean, he established the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah. So there you have God not being afraid at all of the importance of nations with a clear and distinctive cultural identity. In fact, much of what we might call the restorative law or the ceremonial law of the Old Testament is about maintaining a cultural, social distinction from the pagan nations around. So if having sort of a national identity and national distinctiveness was wrong, then God was very wrong in making sure that Israel was culturally, socially, nationally distinct. I think we see very clearly throughout Scripture that God, in his providence, is always working through raising up and bringing down certain nations. Acts 17, Paul makes the argument to the Greeks that God has established the nations. He's appointed their boundaries of their habitation so that people might actually reach out for God. So there is actually almost a missiological purpose in the existence of nation states, which is clearly important in Scripture. And actually, when you look at the prophecies of Scripture about the nations, God is talking about Egypt being his inheritance and Philistia being his inheritance and the nations being his inheritance. Well, if there are no nations, how can he inherit the nations? So there's no sense in the Bible that you get this idea that God's ideal is some kind of one nation, massive global political entity. No, there is a sense that that God is working his purposes out through peoples and nations with a distinct identity. There's the one and the many. There is one human family, but there are many distinctions within it that are part of the beauty, the tapestry, and the joy of human life, human experience, part of the tapestry of life. So, no, we certainly don't get a globalist vision from Scripture, and we see that the nations are ordained by God. Having said that, just as any aspect of life can be absolutized and turned into an idol, you can turn the party, the political party, into an idol, just as the communists did, and the party becomes divine. But you can also do that with the nation. And if you absolutize the nation, you have nationalism. And you can get that, well, the classic example, of course, would be, is it the German Volk, the German fatherland, especially as it is seen in Nazism, and you have this idea of a master nation, a master race, the reality of a sort of radical form of racism. So you can absolutize the individual as well, and you have existentialism. So you can absolutize almost any aspect, and you can do that with the nation too, and that's idolatry. That is not what Brexit is about. It's not about nationalism that would absolutize the nation in the place of God. It must never be that. Britain has enjoyed a long and prosperous history as a free, independent nation. Germany didn't know that until the end of the 19th century. There's a long heritage there that predates these post-Second World War European institutions that were established in part as a reaction to nationalism. They kind of saw the tendency with the elites after World War II was to see the problem of the World War, that it arose simply because of nationalisms. Clearly that was only one factor. You certainly do not prevent the rise of nationalism by creating a super state that eliminates people's freedom. In fact, if anything, we're seeing more and more referendum movements springing up, and actually nationalistic movements springing up, because of this forcing people into this cookie cutter political union by stealth. The Lisbon Treaty, bringing it in by the back door, all of these things that in the end people kick against, and then you get a counter-reaction. So Brexit is not about nationalism, but nationalism certainly is always a threat if you absolutize the nation. The same as absolutizing anything else is idolatry.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Please feel free to share it with friends, but do not charge for or alter the material in any way without the express written consent of the EICC. Thank you.